Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
We now trace the halachas of Mishloach Monos, Matolos Levionim, and Seudas Purim. This is Siman Kuf Mem Beis, the 142nd chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Let's jump straight into some of those halachas. The first concept is Mishloach Monos. The Megillah itself commands us that the way that Purim is to be celebrated in ritual is for people to give gifts to each other, to create fraternity, to create bonds between different Jews. So a few basic questions. How much must one send? So one needs to send two different types of food to one person. That's the minimal basic requirement. What's the upper limit? There's no upper limit. The more the better. The Hamarbe Ariz Meshubach, the more a person does, the better it is. However, he does mention what the Rambam says, which is that it's better to spend more money on Matonas Levionim, gifts to the poor, than to give gifts to one's friend as well. And he makes the comment, Ein Simcha Gedolam for Eres. There's no greater and more splendid Simcha in front of Hashem, Ela Lesameach Lev Aniyim V'Yosomim V'Almonos. To make happy those who are impoverished, those who live alone, V'Mesameach Lev Amulolim Aylin. People who make these souls happy. Doimel Shchina is similar to Hashem. Shneimar Lachayos Ruach Shvolim Olachayos Nev Nidkoim. That's what Hashem does, and we're replicating His actions. What constitutes a mana? What is a portion? So it must be something which is readily edible. So it cannot be raw meat. When can this mitzvah have been done? It's only done on the day of Purim. It cannot be done at the night, although it might be more convenient because there's less congestion at night on the roads. But it must be done during the day. What is an Avel's obligation in this? An Avel must give Mishloach Monos, but he or she may not receive Mishloach Monos directly themselves. As a family, they may receive it, not as an individual. Move to our next concept, and that's Matanos Levionim, gifts to the poor. Again, another way that Esther and Mordechai ritualized Purim's celebration, they say this in the Megillah, is to give gifts to the poor. A few basic questions. How many gifts must be given? So it needs to be two gifts to two poor people. If someone reaches out and to ask for alms, for charity, do I need to investigate the cause like I usually do? No. On Purim, there's a halacha called Kol HaPoshet Yad. Anybody who sticks out their hand, you give to, which means say, come prepared. Make sure you've got dollars in your pockets so you're able to distribute to those who ask when needed. This is generally also seen as a Kabbalistic concept that Kol HaPoshet Yad, it's a day of tefillah, when we ask Hashem for unjustifiable good in our own lives, hopefully Hashem answers us without doing too much investigation and auditing when it comes to our deservingness. What if there are no poor people around? So three options. Plan ahead and donate to shuls organizations which will give and distribute on Purim when there are people around. Number two is keep the money aside and give it to them when you interact with them, or dispatch it on Purim, meaning to say, make sure that it's being sent. Are women obligated in Mishloach Monos and Matanos Levionim? The answer is yes. And it's best. He does make the note, it's best for women to send Mishloach Monos to women and men to men. And Tzedakah, this is less of a concern. Generally speaking, family is usually sent to families, but if a person is living alone, then it's best for it to be woman to woman and man to man. When can the mitzvah be done? So only on the day of Purim. Again, although it may be convenient at night, it has to be done during the day. What is an avel's obligation in this? So a person who's an avelus la'alenu, they must give and they may receive as well as matanas levionim. Move to our third concept, which is the Seudas Purim, which is the feast on the day of Purim. Again, the Megillah tells us that chayavim ne'echol l'ishtas l'smach b'Purim. You have to eat, drink, and be merry on Purim. It's a day of merriment and happiness because of the miracles that occurred at that time. When is the mitzvah? So it's primarily in the day, but there is a residual experience at night, so a person should have a little more to eat at night. What about when Purim is on a Sunday, and therefore Purim starts on a Motzei Shabbos? So the Kitzur advises having a little less to eat at Seudas Shlishis so that the person will also be able to enjoy having something to eat and in celebration of Purim. The obviously halacha relating to the fact that our experiences are not just cerebral, they are emotional and also physical, and therefore eating is an experience of joy as well. When can this mitzvah be done? So mainly on the day of Purim. When specifically in the day? So one should first have a mincha and then have a suda. Can it run into the night? It can run over into the night, but it should be primarily a majority of the suda should be in the day. What if Purim falls out on a Friday? So then it's best to do the Seudah in the morning, or at least starting before Chatzos, so that before midday, so that the Seudah does not interfere with Shabbos. What else needs to be done? So it is best to learn Torah before the Seudah. any special menu items. So besides for meat and wine, the Menai gets to eat seeds and legumes. And this is to commemorate the sacrifices Daniel and his friends made at the times when they were squires in the Babylonian court. They refused to eat non-kosher food and they only ate seeds and legumes. And this is one of the reasons why some of the humantashen have inside them the seeds, why they have man inside them. And this is reflecting this as well. Esther learned this from Daniel, who was her sah, which is why it relates to Purim, just those few years later. Why is wine so central? So we know that the wine was a central part of the miracle. The many of the seudos, which happened, Esther called Achashverosh and Haman to the seudos on wine, and therefore we commemorate it with wine, and a person should have it to a drink. How much? So the upper limit is the chayavodim enosh levesume bepuraya delo yada ben arur Haman baruch Mordechai. A person should be intoxicated to the point they don't know the difference between the good and the bad. However, the way it's regulated is lefachos, it should be at the very least yishtei yosei mer hergelo, a person should drink a little more than they used to. So that means half a cup, it means now three quarters of a cup, and to remember this great nace, and then they should take a rest. And this way, in their sleep, they're also oblivious to the difference between Mordechai and Haman, and have fulfilled this obligation in that respect. The Kitzur does add it in the end of this over here. He says, a person who is weak by nature, aka a male and under the age of 25, and Mishia Deba Atzma Shal Yedeke and Yizalzel Chasushalim Be'ezim Mitzvah. If a person does get drunk, knows that if they get drunk, they will be disgraceful to certain mitzvahs or to brachos or to tefillah, or just will be lightheaded and frivolous if they get intoxicated, then that person should not engage in this activity. This is what one is losing out more than one is gaining. And he articulates again, call myself you l'shem shamayim. All his actions should be for the sake of heaven. Finally, last concept, just a few miscellaneous halachas, and that is, what about work, which is work on Purim? So generally speaking, one should not work on Purim. The Kitzur quotes the idea that Misha Oise Boy Melacha, a person does work, and Aroya Ome Oise Melacha Simon Bracha Lo'olam, is not going to see blessing from that work on Purim. What about hiring a non-Jew to do? That's no problem. One shouldn't be engaged in work oneself. What are permitted melachos? So one's allowed to do melacha to prepare for Purim or the Purim Surah. One is allowed to write letters. One's allowed to get involved in work that if one does not engage in, one will lose money for. Or just, he says, pragmatia, trade, which is a lot easier to arrange. What are the halachos of the 15th of Adar, the day after Purim in regular cities? That's called Shushan Purim. There's no tachnun, no keler hachapayim before laning, no lamanatzeach, the end of davening, no fasting, no eulogies. We do have extra feasting, and there's no ayin nisim, and one can make a wedding on Shushan Purim. What about Purim Katan? So if, let's say, we have two Adars in a leap year, the 14th and 15th of Adar Rishon are called Purim Katan and Shushan Purim Katan, and there's no tachnun, no keler hachapayim, no lamanatzeach, no fasting, no eulogies on those days. However, on the 14th of Adar Aleph, some people have the minhag to have a larger meal as a commemoration for anticipation of that Purim. With this, we conclude the very fascinating halachas of Purim that relates to Matanos Yevionim, Mishloach Manos, and the Seudah. Have a wonderful and very meaningful day.